Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are going to talk some more about strong homes and some of the principles that are necessary for that to happen.
Well, let me start out by saying, Bernadette, you look good today.
Oh, thanks. So do you. Are you fishing for a compliment?
Basically, that's what I was doing. And it worked. Hey, you know, when it comes to building a strong home, there are a lot of principles that are in the forefront. And one of them is to set an atmosphere of self-control. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes the whole idea of discipline is seen as a negative thing rather than preparing a child to be self-controlled, because that's such an asset to them in life.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, this topic makes me really nervous because of how it's been so misconstrued in our culture. Spankings have turned into beatings, have turned into abuse. Any kind of trying to get your child to go a direction they don't want to go is—it's just so mislabeled so often. So this, just trying to talk about such a big topic in 15 minutes makes me really nervous that would be misunderstood.
Well, let me help you out with that, because in Proverbs 22, and I'm sure many people listening are familiar with this verse. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Now, when you look at the word rod of discipline, mm-hmm. and we've heard, you know, interpretations of that all across the board in our experiences.
And some that make us nervous. Uh-huh.
That's right. But really, the word rod is probably better translated scepter. And so there's a picture, you know, like of a king having a scepter, and it's a scepter of authority. There is authority behind it, but it's the idea that the authority's there. Well, the other word that's reflected there is staff. Okay,
so it's guiding, like a shepherd's staff.
Yeah, so if you put the scepter part of it together with the, you know, the guidance part from a shepherd perspective, it looks totally different when it comes to the idea of disciplining or spanking, quote unquote.
Right. Well, I like the whole idea. What that brings then too is that watching like a hawk idea. Mm-hmm. It seems like even when we say that, it can mean watching like a hawk for them to do something wrong.
Goof up, yeah.
Yeah, but instead the idea is, be careful when you cross the street. Not excusing them when they're having a bad day because they're tired, but me getting on top of it and being sure they get to bed on time and that I'm watching out for that for them.
Well, that really never was an excuse around our home as our children were growing up. Well, they're just tired. Well, if you're tired, then go to your room and go read or do something that's more productive for a tired person. Mm-hmm. It's not an excuse to color outside the lines.
No, but even when they're really little, being tired, you begin to instruct on how to kind of rise above it and have self-control. Even, I mean, I have to do that yet today in my life.
Yes.
I get up and I'm super tired and I have a long day ahead of me and I just think to myself, you know, you're not going to die from being tired. You just need to be self-controlled.
So once we've defined the idea of disciplining, being a scepter and a guiding kind of thing as far as the staff you're shepherding, that kind of leads me then to a conversation in my mind about, well, why do you discipline? And that's basically to teach your children self-control, because self-control is huge. I mean, there is nothing more ugly to me than a 40-year-old that has no self-control. You see people in the workplace, you see people in the neighborhood, and the goal is to help our children mm-hmm. have self-control. And that's the purpose of discipline. It's not just to get them to do what we want them to do. It's
exactly.
to learn how to control themselves from the inside out, or even to have God do that.
Yes, and what you're also really talking about there, controlling your emotions. And that doesn't mean squelching emotions, but it's learning how to deal with them, admit what they are, but then put them in their proper perspective and where they're supposed to go. So, okay, if I'm angry, what do I do with that? You don't just squash it. You don't quash it.
Right.
But you also don't lash out. So, but what's in the middle, and how do you train your children to be angry, but to do the right thing with it?
Yeah, or like it says in James, be angry and don't sin.
Yeah.
And don't let the sun go down in your anger. I mean, those are the kinds of things that need to be shepherded into our children's life. And that's going to be true if it's a part of our family life. And that's one of the deals when it comes to discipline and correction that I think needs to be understood, is that that's the tone of your family. It's not just you doing things that, you know, bring your children under control or get them where you want them to be. You set a tone in your family of self-discipline and self-correction so that you can kind of learn how to do that from the inside out.
Yeah. And what's good about that happening in the family is that you can sort of learn that together in a family rather than having to learn that just out at school or out in the workplace or out in the neighborhood. You actually get to be corrected within the family. It's so much less humiliating.
Absolutely. And, you know, when it comes to the ultimate goal, then, is you want your kids to be able to relate to other people. Now, I don't know about you, but I work around brats, mm-hmm. you know, whether I'm in public. I mean, fortunately, we don't know a lot of them in our orb of people because we pretty much apply these principles in our group. But when you're around a brat, the hardest person that's impacted in the most negative ways is the brat themselves, because mm-hmm. who wants to be around somebody who's out of control? It's creepy.
And you're reminding me of a story. I was talking to a friend once and she said, I had so little oversight and so little instruction. She said, I always felt like the adults around me didn't like me. And she said,
ta-da.
I know. And she said, I feel so bad now as I get older. I realize what I was missing. I just didn't know. But I still have that insecurity in me that people kind of don't like me. And I'm different now than I was. She realizes that was something she had to learn to do with her own kids.
Well, you know, if you learn how to have a home that has a disciplined environment where it's producing self-control, then you're going to be contributing to the adjustments of your children so that they can succeed in the world and have that personal self-control and take it out. And there's an aspect to that, and this was a hard one for me to learn, and it's another passage. It's out of Colossians 3. Fathers, do not exasperate your children to anger so that they will not lose heart. And so the whole idea of exasperating means to like stir them up in the part of them that becomes angry. So as a dad, it was important for me to learn how it wasn't just a matter of control and exerting control. It was helping my children to understand and reason through and not exasperate them, because I didn't want them to be disheartened. And it's very disheartening if it's just a matter of correction. There's instruction that goes with mm-hmm. correction.
Mm-hmm. And after the instruction, the grief that they feel, and then bringing the whole restoration part of that is sometimes missed. It's just like, okay, go play. Or you know, maybe they get sent to their room or a spanking and then it's just done. And really to reconnect with them afterwards is really important, to know that this is just a one-time. I mean, this is just for this deal. This isn't how I feel about you as an entire person. And this isn't going to affect our life the rest of the day. This is a brief moment of correction.
Now, you were concerned when we got into this topic about bringing up the idea of spanking. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've mentioned it several times. So we just need to just, you know, face it and talk about it, because there are so many pictures that come into people's minds, depending upon how you were disciplined mm-hmm. or what you've seen around you as far as how you feel about that. Let me tell you our philosophy about this. You know, instruction starts early. As soon as your child's is able to go out into somebody else's space, mm-hmm. I can remember very clearly when our oldest child was pulling a plant out, you know, uh-huh. of a bucket in the corner of the living room, and we just kind of looked and we thought, well, that's kind of cute. But the second time she did it, you know, she needed to learn that uh-huh. she didn't have the right to do that. So, you know, mm-hmm. you go over and slap her little fingers or whatever.
And even that sounds harsh. It's just that little two-fingered, like, no.
It had nothing to do with the pain. It was like, right. What's dad doing? Uh-huh. And why in the world would he do that? And that hits at a core of what real discipline is. It's not so much to use physical influence in order to get what you want. It's to instruct, because your kids naturally want to do, they want to please you. Mm-hmm. And that's the place where I think you have to figure out how not to exasperate your children.
And that's a tough one, because parents, we know the underbelly of our kids. We know where they're sensitive. We know, or we should, if we're talking about it with one another. And that's where it's easy to go just one step too far and hurt them deep in their heart rather than just in the part that needs to be corrected.
Well, and I think as a father,
or directed.
Yeah, as a father looking back now, I realized it had nothing to do with, you know, how I disciplined per se, or how hard I did it or didn't do it. It was always in the context of kindness and just the measured amount of whatever my kids needed for me to get their attention so that we could complete the discipline process.
And I think for me as a mom, it had a lot to do with consistency. And as I talked to other moms as we were going through it all, and as I talk to moms now, it's really about you need to be consistent. So even if you're not as on it as the next mom, or you're more on it than the next mom, your kids need to know where the lines are and that they're always going to stay there. That it's not one day I'm going to be irritable and the next day I'm going to let everything go. That is, it's so hard on the kids, and that's a part of not frustrating them.
Yes. So here's one of the things that really bugs me is I watch a lot of parents making excuses for their children. We were done with most of the disciplining of our kids by the time they were 4 years old.
That kind of discipline. Absolutely.
Yes, mm-hmm. because they learned about the instruction process. And, you know, we rarely spanked our children after that age. And I can even remember with my grandkids. My grandkids, we had our... Oh, I don't know, our showing of the will showdowns.
Well, you know, you want to be the grandpa and the grandma that let them do stuff and you have fun and they get kind of spoiled. But then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, they've shown up today and they're ready to take advantage in a different way than we've seen before. And we had to at some point just say, even at grandma and grandpa's,
yes.
The line has to be very similar to what it's like at your house.
And when it was there, it was interesting. I mean, they all knew it was there and boom, we keep rolling. Now and have very little conflict with regard to issues of the will, because, you know, really that's what self-control is all about. You want your will to be submitted to God's will, not necessarily your will to other people's will, but to God's will. And that's the goal, I think, of discipline.
Yeah. And I go back to what a safe thing, what a cool thing this is to have this happen in the family so that it doesn't have, it happens with people who the kids know, love them, and have their best interest at heart. That they totally have my heart, I totally have their heart. And just to be able to have that happen in the family rather than out in the world where you're so much more exposed, there's no love that necessarily comes with it, the family's a cool thing.
This is a huge conversation, and to try to fit it all into 15 minutes is pretty difficult. We actually put something together. It's at mystronghome.com, and you want to go there, there's a kind of a course that comes to you. It's absolutely free. And it's all part of our four-stream effort. Go there and you can read and look at some videos related to this. But leaving the conversation today, I have three things that I haven't brought up that I want to.
Okay,
the key message of spanking or discipline is that my rights end where another person's nose begins. That's what we taught our children.
Mm-hmm.
And that included, you know, whether you're popping, whether they would reach out and pop you in the nose or whatever. Okay, well, there, your rights end there. And you have to learn, you have to be instructed about that idea.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge, I think, for our kids.
Yeah, I think so too. It was a big deal for me.
And then, you know, when you're young and you're just starting out, you're not so circumspect. So this is another principle. We should never spank out of embarrassment or lashing out or being inconvenienced by our children. Discipline is always used to teach self-control, and as such, must always be self-controlled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just real quickly, I think sometimes we can require something from our children that they're not ready to do in a certain instance. And we need to know that going in so that we're not saying, say hi to so-and-so, knowing that they don't have them in it, they have that in them that day, being careful to always know our kids and what they're able to do and being careful of what we require at the right time.
Well, and working together on it, you know, you and I just had a lot of conversations. We worked together. We came from different perspectives, but together we were able to come up with the right recipe for our kids, which I...
And the best we could do.
It was.
In our humanness.
And that's what we mean by the right recipe. Certainly didn't do everything right. Fourstream.com, a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Fourstream.com and click on that radio button, which is our picture up in the masthead, which is, you know, it's worth the visit just for that.
Dave, together we are finding hope at Fourthstream.com.